Well, this is Rockford, Illinois, and we, as Rockfordians, have a great opportunity ahead of us. It seems that three large corporations coming to Rockford are vying for one thing and one thing only. It's a casino. Isn't that a great idea? They could go on the far side of Rockford towards the north. They could go towards the airport, or they could bring it right downtown. Big, huge casino, 60,000 square foot, hundreds and hundreds of jobs, a lot of interest, a lot of renovation for the city. Maybe it's the best thing to ever happen to Rockford. What do you think, Doctor?
Well, first of all, I only live here. I'm not really a Rockfordian.
Oh.
So perhaps I don't have a right to a critical opinion on this. There is, of course, the other side, which I only want to talk about briefly. Critics of gambling casinos, especially gambling casinos that are licensed and run for the profit of the government, critics say that it brings in organized crime to run the casinos, and that it brings in the gambling element, which is in general not the most highest class of people in society. It is a way of forcing the poor to part with their money. There are many consequential reasons, that is, many things that come as a result of opening casinos in your hometown that make it objectionable. But on the other hand, really, there's no positive case to be made. Money from casinos, even when they're designated for schools or parks or some other good purpose, they actually go into the city's coffers. They enrich bureaucrats and politicians. They don't typically lower taxes on the cities I've looked at. So it's the political class, as always, that makes out. Some years ago, the Secretary of Education of Wisconsin came out publicly and denounced a plan to dedicate state income from casinos and lotteries to schools on the grounds that it was simply shifting money around, freeing tax money that had been going to public schools like property taxes. Well, now more of that could go into the general fund, more boodle for the bureaucrats.
Exactly. Now, I think the most interesting thing you said there was something about organized crime. Are we talking about guys with crooked noses? Lou Cabrazzi sleeps with the fishes? These guys? Is that what you're
talking about? Yes, actually, those guys.
Really?
Look, those are the people who created Vegas, for example.
Oh,
who created Vegas? Well, it was a combination of the Friends of Meyer Lansky and that organization that we are not supposed to mention, especially if we're in Sicily. So, and of course, in the Godfather movies, you see this guy. It's Benny Siegel. It's Bugsy Siegel.
Oh.
Bugsy Siegel was the—
I thought it was Frank Sinatra, wasn't he in that
Bugsy thing? No, Sinatra was always a pawn of the mafia. He was putty in their hands.
But boy, what
Sam
a voice.
Sam Giancana in Chicago practically owned Sinatra during the later years. So, yes, it's what they're good at. They run numbers rackets in their neighborhoods, but they've been running high-level organized gambling since forever. Because gambling has always been, until very recently, it was a criminal enterprise.
Right.
And so who do you think ran those gambling parlors in the Old West? The same people who ran the prostitution rackets. That is, and I'm not referring to any specific ethnicity, because there were Germans, there were Jews, there were Irishmen.
Everybody loves to gamble.
There were not many Italians. But the fact is that they were the criminal element, and the criminal element is whom you attract to your fair city. And by the way, if you go to, I have friends who live down on the Gulf Coast of Alabama, Mississippi, that area. And the people I talk to, they claim that the quality of life really deteriorates rapidly as some of the worst riffraff enters. Some years ago, there's been this ongoing debate in Rockford.
Yes.
You know, for example, we build housing projects. Well, we bring up the criminal element from Chicago.
Chicago, yeah.
And fill our housing projects. Or we build jails, and we're actually taking in rumors from the Chicago ghetto to live in our jails. And, of course, what happens? Well, their brothers and cousins come up. We've already got a significant gang presence in Rockford,
yes.
Although I once interviewed the head of the gag unit in the police force, and he said there was no such thing.
Oh, no such thing.
Yeah, that's why the gangster disciples, et cetera, they were very well organized here. But anyway, the same people that are going to be housed in the jail or take up space in our housing projects,
yes,
we're getting the criminal element. But all of these stories, these are all secondary and to some extent irrelevant to the really main issue of why you should or should not allow organized gambling in your
city. So organized crime is irrelevant to the casino and gambling problem?
It's an important part of the problem, but it's only on the surface. We're dealing here with a more basic problem.
Okay.
And the more basic problem is the moral harm that is inherent in gambling. It's not just the result of the misuse of gambling. Mm. There are things like drug abuse or rape. Mm. And like gambling, these are criminal and evil actions in themselves, quite apart from whatever collateral damage they might produce. Mm. So the mob question is comparatively trivial.
Yeah, but bringing the mob to town does not sound like a trivial thing. I mean, I saw The Godfather. They're bad guys.
They are very bad. They're much worse than they're portrayed in The Godfather. Of course, that's serious in itself. I mean, you don't want organized crime or more organized crime, because we certainly got it. Back in the 70s, the FBI estimated that in terms of total dollars controlled by the mafia, Rockford was, I believe, number four city in the United States.
Holy mackerel.
And considering the competition, you know, Newark, New Jersey, and Milwaukee, that was saying quite a lot. But it's only... Look, Rex, it's like arguing that rape is bad because the victim of rape might have nightmares later, or she could contract an STD. That's not why rape is bad. Rape is bad because it's bad. It's evil in itself, just like murder, arson, kidnapping.
Okay, but when I was young, Mom and Dad had the friends over on a Friday night, and they had some beers, and they played cards, and, you know, me and my family, I got older, we played 21, we had some fun. It's fun because you've got money at stake, $5, $10. So is gambling inherently evil?
Not that kind of gambling. Gambling for fun, gambling that's not high stakes, gambling that doesn't threaten either the moral life of the gambler or threaten his family. Mm. Penny-ante gambling is like social drinking or gourmandizing, you know, eating too much good food. Wow. They're pretty harmless activities in and of themselves. Alcoholism, on the other hand, is a serious matter. And so is the problem of Americans who eat themselves into a condition where they can no longer lead a moral life. Just walk into any bar or restaurant in the Middle West, and sometimes it's 8 out of 10 people. What if we had a government program that encouraged alcoholism or eating obsessions and then justified it on the grounds that it created jobs and brought in outsiders to spend money in our city?
Well, spending money in the city is a great idea. Renovating the inner city, as you know, it's pretty ugly down there in certain spots. That's a good idea. Jobs is a good idea. So when you look at all the good things, I mean, is it really that bad to bring a casino to Rockford?
First of all, I'd remind you, Rex, that what ruined the city was not some kind of natural aging process, but the cynical collusion of real estate developers who bought land on the outskirts of town and were in collusion with the politicians they bought in order to ignore the inner city and let it rot, and so that they could move out East 8th Street.
I see.
Look, gambling in itself, it's not all that bad. Making bets on races or games, that simply enhances the excitement of the game, of the competition. Poker, for example, you can't play poker without gambling because it's all based on risk and bluff and putting yourself on the line. And if you're not going to lose anything, it's no longer
a game.
I
love the excitement, man. If I'm going to win like $5 or $10 or something, that's awesome. Yeah, I'm all in.
I said penny ante, yes. Casino gambling is for suckers. It's as wicked for the people who organize it as the people who organize the lottery. Oh. The odds are always with the house, and the dumber you are, the less you can afford to lose, the more likely you're going to be to waste your hard-earned money and the money you owe your wife and kiddies on lottery tickets or slot machines. All over Rockford, they have these gambling machines. It's unbelievable. It's like seeing people shooting up heroin. The saddest thing about all this, really, is the large number of people in our society who are looking to escape the life they are leading, the real life, the life with their wife and family and friends. What they want is to make a big score and go to Florida or live in Disney World every day.
Somebody's got to win it. I mean, I don't play much. I play every now and then. I do the scratch-off thing every now and then. And I've won, $20 or $30 here. But, I mean, the 10 million or when it gets up to 80 or 90 or 100 million.
I guarantee you, if you kept track, you're a net loser.
Well, then should all gambling be banned?
No, absolutely not. This is unfortunately the way we Americans think. For example, if something isn't positively good, then maybe we should ban it, like the way we ban smoking or the way we ban all sorts of otherwise harmless activities. Or if we decide as a society that something isn't really completely evil, then we turn it into a human right. Private casinos for the rich, the kinds of thing they have in Monaco or London or all over all over Europe, they harm very few people, and the rich can afford to take their own chances. But when you have open public gambling for ordinary people, this is a shameful activity to watch people in this desperate escape from everyday life. Henry Adams, the famous writer who was the grandson of John Quincy Adams, the president, and the great grandson of John Adams, he once observed, I think it's in his book, The Education of Henry Adams, that he had seen open gambling on the street in Washington, D.C. during the Civil War. He said it was always a sign of a complete social and moral breakdown, and that this is certainly observably true. Gambling is something you do in the privacy of your own home. It's like sex. You don't have sex on the street. Right. And if you do have sex, if you're a society which allows all sorts of weird antics going on in public, in front of strangers, then you got a very sick society.
Well, you know, it's always a certain amount of people that are ruining something for everybody else. I mean, I used to go with my mom, you know, a 90-year-old mom, and go over to the casino, and she'd spend, you know, 20, 30, 40 bucks, and we'd all, we win, or whatever, you know, have a couple of drinks, that sort of thing. But the idea that the poor are being, you know, brought in, and then they lose all of their money, and the rich, it doesn't make any difference because they got so much money. It's the same old story. How's that song go? The rich get rich, and the poor have children.
Yes, ain't we got fun.
Ain't we got fun. Yeah, that's it.
Well, there's no point, Rex, in pretending that life is otherwise. We've talked earlier about how Jeffrey Epstein got away with something approaching murder simply because he had wealth and influence. To quote another great song, this one by Ray Charles, I don't know who wrote it, said he begins it, "I've gotten down to my last pair of shoes, can't even win a nickel bet. Because them that's got are them that gets, and I ain't got nothing yet." But that's not my point.
Well, then what is the point?
Yeah, finally, at last. Look, all these minor diversions, they could become vices, but they're private. You know, they're done in the privacy of your own home or in a private club or removed from, you know, little children aren't seeing this. They can be indulged in by people who can afford them. For government, though, to step in and encourage alcoholism, drug addiction, meaningless fornication, gambling on the grounds that they're creating jobs, this is simply wrong.
Well,
it's especially wrong in states that use gambling revenues to fund treatment for gambling addiction, as we do in Illinois. In other words, the state says there's something called gambling addiction, like heroin addiction. And so we collect money out of the taxes and pay for programs to encourage people to get detoxed from their gambling habit. On the other hand, we have a state lottery and run state casinos. It's like states that tax cigarettes then sue the tobacco companies for the damages they're doing when the state is actually making far more money through taxes than the state and federal governments than the tobacco companies. Why not tax child pornography?
What?
And use the and legalize and tax child pornography?
Oh,
sure,
geez.
And use the proceeds to help the victims, the immature victims of sex abuse. It's the same principle. This is wickedness.
Yes.
So extreme. I am embarrassed that there's anyone in public or private life who would actually stand up and say, "I'm in favor of putting a casino in my downtown."